Hello and welcome to the Amateur Hour, a podcast from Amateur Mastermind Productions. Every other week, four young creatives get together to talk about whatever it is young creatives talk about. One day we'll get it all in unison. My name, as always, one of your co-hosts, Mike Messina, and to my immediate right, the Sony PlayStation of the podcast, Darren Tun.
PS5?
Okay.
You got one?
No, PS5.
No. All the way across the table, we have the Microsoft Xbox of the podcast.
Yo, come at me, bro. No.
And oh, finally, hey, what's up? Yeah. Finally, over here we have what's left, the Nintendo.
The Wii.
The superior Nintendo console. Joanne Jojo Chang.
Okay.
We're gonna let that one sit for a second.
Yo, facts. All right.
So before,
what are you?
What am I? I'm the PlayStation.
He's
Vita.
A PC. PC.
Oh, yeah.
PC.
Yeah.
PC gamer.
Master
Game
Ace,
Boy.
Yeah.
Game Boy.
Game Boy. Shout out to the. Oh man.
Yo, facts.
The PlayLinks.
Yeah. I remember that. Well, before we had to play Mario Kart, you had the PlayLink with the original DS. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I just remember, like, I'm so glad that we hit the video game era before the internet, just a little bit. Because back in my old neighborhood on Staten Island, when I used to live there.
Oh really? You lived there?
I did for a very short period of time.
This is news
was
to
it
me.
Fun?
Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot of it, but it was Staten Island. And, you know, all the kids on the block, all different ages, would just be running around with all their different editions of the Game Boy, playing different Pokemon games, they'd bust out those PlayLinks, and you link up, and it was really, really cool. I'm glad we got that, like, physical video game experience, because now that doesn't happen, because now it's all online. These kids and their internet, you know?
No, remember, like, Pokemon Go game? Like, that was, like, a little bit where people would actually meet. I remember I walked outside and met new people who were playing that game, and I was like, what is going on?
You played it?
I did. I only played it because my friends were playing it, they would not hang out with me. They would only want to play
She's a follower.
Yep.
I am. I remember playing Pokemon Go with my coworkers, actually.
Oh, really?
Like, because we're all camp counselors, and then, like, on lunch breaks, we would, like, play Pokemon Go, and we'd walk to lunch. We'd go outside and out on the walk to lunch and play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And it just so happened.
That's what you were doing
we
out there?
Where we worked was a gym. Was one of the Pokemon gyms. Oh, my. That was so hype.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But shout out to Pokemon.
You know, bathroom breaks.
Why is he gone for 30 minutes on bathroom breaks? Why is he screaming out different fictional animals?
Pokemon.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know any really Pokemon, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pikachu? Yeah, it's a Yu-Gi-Oh card, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so before we jump in, we should also address someone had a little accident.
Peed my pants today and
again.
No, just kidding.
Again. Third again. Time this week.
Yep.
What happened, JoJo?
I went rock climbing today and I was a little ambitious and decided that everybody was jumping off when they reached the top. So I was like, I'll jump off. But I was no pro. So I landed on one foot and now I have a twisted ankle.
Oh my gosh.
And came down like a ninja though.
Yeah, there's footage of
it. She was just like this coming down. And then the moment she hit the ground, she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Wasted.
She ragged
video
all
games.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto did.
Yeah, but she's doing all right now. Still hurts, right?
It still hurts. Yeah, they got it wrapped up, so just limping around for now until
show the audience.
I want to take.
You have the footage, right?
Yeah.
That's my YouTube channel. But we can put it in after.
We'll link it.
We'll link it. I want to dedicate at least one episode of this to really unpack JoJo's weird psychology around feet and exactly why she doesn't like them, exactly what she doesn't like about them.
We should do a whole podcast episode just filming our like feet, and then we'll talk, but then we'll like move our feet.
Oh, okay. Like a puppet show.
Yeah.
Darren would be spazzing out the whole time like this.
Why?
My friend in high school
like the most versatile.
Oh my gosh. That was actually weird. That was so weird. Oh.
My friend in high school got a single tattoo, and it's a tattoo of a little smiley face on the bottom of her big toe. And it's the quirkiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Smiling face on the bottom of her big toe.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is a conversation that goes into the foot fetish realm too.
Yeah.
Because like people apparently pay for feet pics.
Yep.
Do anything for
So wait, JoJo, what is it about feet though?
Like, why do you talk about this?
She has anxiety right now.
I just don't know why.
I just don't like them. I feel like.
But why? How's it different from a hand?
Because your hand gets aired out, versus your foot is like in a shoe all day or like in a sock.
What if their foot is out all day then?
then it's like gets dirty. How often do you wash your feet? You
wash your hands often. What if they're up like all the time like that?
Yeah. What if someone only walks on their hands their entire life?
Would hands be creepy to you then?
I guess.
Nah, they would no. That means no. That means you're prejudiced against feet, and you just can't justify it. But we'll get to the bottom of it next week.
This is my new proposal.
We'll get to the bottom of it. This is a recurring segment on the show.
Like how I'm doing with my fear of feet.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the top of every show, we're gonna ask you a single question to help us get closer to find out why you feel the way you feel.
Mm. 2 episodes ago, we were sitting on the floor next to Darren, and I accidentally touched Darren's foot. And that was so fast. And then I had to like maintain.
He had to lower the gain for that.
All I see is the audio phone going like, boom.
And I'm like, I had to stay calm for the podcast. It was, oh my God, it was so cool.
Okay, so we'll return to that next week.
Yeah. No. So, feel like that about anyone's feet, right?
The thing is, that same week, I don't know if you guys heard in the podcast episode, but all you hear is boom.
That's a different week.
It was a different week? Okay.
Yeah. That was a precursor. That was warning me.
Yeah. Because Darren was moving his foot on the table, and so the whole table was just like vibrating.
Well, I know Mike wanted to talk about dreams today.
I did, yeah. And actually, so instead of topic of the show, I think we're going to call it the conversation starter. Because what always happens is you talk about one thing.
We call it the appetizer.
No, it
doesn't make any sense.
I mean, we could.
We started the meal.
Call it whatever with how we want.
We'll workshop it. Okay. But yeah, conversation starter for this week, because the topic could veer and go to pretty much any direction from there, is dreams. Mm. However you interpret the word dreams.
I had a dream.
About feet.
Wait a second. All right. About what?
Feet.
I have this one recurring dream that's really scary where I'm on top of the building and then like I fall off and I literally feel my stomach turn and I hit the ground. Oh, sorry. I hit the ground and like I'm in my bed. But this is like a recurring one. It's happened like 4 or 5 times already. But do you guys have recurring dreams?
That's the there's a scientific reason for that. I forgot what it's called, but it's like sleep paralysis people also experience that.
Oh my God, sleep paralysis. Yeah. So scary.
So it's like
right?
It's like you have the feeling that you're falling, and you suddenly wake up at the start, and you shook the whole table.
That's good. That's good acting. Maybe you should cast it for our next
show. I should. You know, it's like I'm in a horror film, even though I hate horror. It'd be great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Richard, act like you're falling, but you're just sitting down. Whoa. No. Green screen the background. Yeah.
You do the thing where you pull the camera straight up.
When I was little. Yeah. We had a green screen and I made her.
You had a green screen at home.
Yeah. And I mean, no, it was like a bed sheet, but we dyed it in green ink.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and then we hung it up.
You were dedicated.
Yeah. And then she was like on the stool, and then she was like pretending like she was like flying and shit.
Oh, that's cool.
And I had like this background, and it's cool.
Wow, I remember doing my little brother. I did a profile shot of him making a finger gun, and then acting like he was shooting.
Uh huh.
And then I just cut in little screenshots of that
muzzle flares,
but with muzzle flares. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. It's cool.
It's still the coolest thing that I've ever made.
Muzzle flares, the edited ones.
Boom.
Yeah, basically.
I love muzzle flares. Yeah, they're so nice.
I dream about them all the time. Mm. Yeah, but recurring dreams for me, I have 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have 3, but they're kind of boring. Like one is just driving, because I'm always super nervous driving. Even if I'm comfortable with that route, I'm just always super hyper aware. I think more aware than most people are.
Yeah.
Another one is freestyling. Like I used to rap a lot.
Oh. Okay.
And still just mechanically, if I listen to a lot of hip hop for a given amount of time, I'll dream as if I am mechanically like trying to solve the puzzle that is freestyling. And I can never really remember the words that I was dreaming of.
Yeah.
Probably because there weren't actual words. But it felt so visceral. Like it really felt like I was actually trying to piece together different verbs and stuff.
You were
like
gonna
that.
Say you were on stage and performing.
Oh no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I really felt it.
That's the like regular person's hip hop dream is to be on stage and everyone's yelling their name. For me it's like a noun or a verb. That's my nerdy hip hop.
I see.
Noun or verb.
I have one more. And this one might be there might be some psychology to unpack here, because I'm really into martial arts self-defense. Mm-hmm. Darren and I have the action movie podcast and everything.
Mm.
So I have a self-defense dream where I'm fighting someone who's a lot bigger than me. Mm. And I haven't been hit yet, right? I'm slipping the punches, I'm ducking and rolling, and I'm landing shots, I'm landing strikes, but they're not doing anything. And I know I have it in me to strike a lot harder, but for whatever reason, I just can't muster the strength to actually put it all into a blow. Or any blow at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I have this impending doom, this feeling of just dodging cars where I'm like, inevitably he's going to land a shot and my face is going to explode if I can't muster up the strength to do this one thing in time. And I feel like it says something about me, but I'm scared to think about
the psychology behind it.
So I'll just keep having that dream until,
How big is this guy?
Like 5'5". I'm 5'4", so.
No.
he's like two of me.
He's quite big. He's the size of Ip Man.
He's like
giant. I think I'm taller than Ip Man. I think Ip Man's like 5'3" or something like that.
Really?
Donnie Yen? Really?
Not Donnie Yen.
No, he's not the real Ip Man, bro.
No. Oh, the actual.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
The actual, like, master, I guess.
Really? He was 5'3"? Wow.
He was something like that, yeah. Or he might have been 5'4". He's somewhere around there.
Dude's Master Yoda, bro.
Master Yoda.
Basically.
You shall not.
Does anyone else have recurring ones?
I don't know if I dream. Maybe I stopped dreaming for a while.
That's so sad.
No,
out of complete context. It just sounds so sad.
But there is no context there. I just stopped dreaming.
Oh my goodness.
My friend's like that. He just told me.
Occasionally, though, like once every now and then, I will have a dream. But this is such a weird topic because I don't remember any of them.
They're far in between. I feel like I don't remember dreams unless I tell someone right after I dream it. But then it's like, who am I going to like talk to myself? Like, mom, I had this dream. Like, dude, it's like the only.
I did have a lot of dreams when I was little, though.
Yeah.
I had this weird dream once that dude, this is like the weirdest dream I ever had actually. But I remember I was in some sort of like ancient. I don't know, like ancient Rome or something like that. And then like my mom was like Pocahontas or some shit.
What the?
Yeah. And then she was like giving me like a shampoo, like she was like shampooing my hair. And then like she told me to sit down and play like this video game and I woke up. It's like really weird. I don't know what that means at all.
There's no like story. You know how usually when you tell a story, it's like a storyline or like there's something going on and like you're going for something, but this dream just kind of like random and just like does whatever the fuck it wants.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like brings you to different locations and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Dream like films are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. David Lynch is huge on that. Yeah.
I
remember when I was a little kid, I had one recurring dream, which is like something chasing me. I did not know what it was, didn't know who it was, didn't know if it was a thing or a person. It was just chasing me. I was just running. And it would transition to falling and I would wake up.
I feel like dreams, it's like I don't know if I remember the people in it per se or like the faces, but I remember the feeling you get. Mm-hmm. Like anxiety, the fear.
I would wake up in like cold sweat.
Yeah.
Would you ever have a dream like that's so close to like real life? It involves like the people around you, but then it's like the circumstance gets like really like fucked up.
Yeah.
To the point where you're like, man, this is really bad.
Yeah.
This also might sound really weird, but this is like sort of on that note. It's just like, I feel like if I had so many moments of deja vu because I remembered a dream that I dreamed that had the exact, thing that I was like going through at that point. I was like, I feel like I've dreamed this before. And, like, it actually, like, I think I would be making it up, but this one time I wrote it down, the details, and then the situation happened, I was like, oh, this sounds like this, and I pulled it up, and it was exactly that dream. And then that's why I was, like, really scared. I was like, does that mean I'm, like, telling my own future in my dreams? Like, what is going on?
Where does it come from? Is it your subconscious?
I think it's the subconscious.
Like, dictates where it goes?
I have literally no clue. I know, too, it's, like, there are moments where I would dream, like a lot of the dreams I have now are almost like stories, like you said, like set in ancient Rome type thing. Like if I ever have a dream, it would be like a story. It's like, you know, you're flying around countries or like you're doing something, and then like you'd wake up and I'd be so sad because I'm like, I didn't see the ending of the story. Like I was left on a cliffhanger, and then I would sleep, and then like a month later, that same dream would come up, starting off the point. So I'm like, what the heck? Like
that
where's
my never
brain
happens
working?
For me. It's always like I had the fortitude to go back to sleep so I can.
And I'd be like, sleep, and I would go back to sleep, and I would arrive back in the same place. And be like, whoa.
So it's like I'm going through an adventure. I'm like waiting to see what's gonna happen, and then like I feel myself coming back into reality. I'm like, no, don't start in your sleep. So now I would like force myself to go to sleep to finish a dream, and then it's like you think it's like 10 minutes, and you wake up it's like hours later. I'm like, wow, that was fast.
Yeah,
time is
only if it's a good dream.
But then you don't remember it, and like, damn. But sometimes I'm just like you said, if you write it down, maybe it'd be good for like ideas, for like storyboards, or like other stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those could be inspirations.
Do you find like you do certain things during the day that kind of make you dream more at night? Like, are there any habits that you do before you sleep that, I don't know, no make clue. It happen more?
I,
no
than it, I feel like the more restless my sleep is, the more I'll remember the dreams. I don't know if I'm actually dreaming more, but like, you know, if I go to bed really, really late or in a weird time, like in the middle of the day, if it's a nap, that's a lot, usually when I can really viscerally remember my dreams.
Yeah.
And that's also oftentimes when weird sleep paralysis stuff happens. Mm. I don't know. Have you guys had episodes of sleep paralysis?
I remember because every it was day. So scary. Yeah.
Paralyzed right now.
Yeah. Every day, man.
I woke up in the middle of my dream. And then I guess like my mind was like, you're not ready yet. And then I was just laying there. And then I remember like having a sense of urgency, like fear is just kind of like I can't move. Like my brain's telling my body to move. But like I'm looking down at my body and it's just like stone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I guess I had to go back to sleep.
You were that calm?
I don't know why. It was like fear. It was almost like nervousness and like the perspiration. It was just like I literally felt like it was like the like you're being chased kind of fear. It felt like that. And then suddenly, it's like anxiety.
That's what it is.
It's like as soon as I started, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna go back to sleep.
Yeah,
I can't move. I'm just gonna go back to sleep. So I just gonna close my eyes and went back to sleep. And I wake up and I'm like sideways. I'm like, how did this happen?
That's crazy. To me, it's like it is synonymous with a terror like I've never felt before.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it that scale for you?
It's a terror I've never felt before, and then to transition into I can't fix it, so I'm just gonna run away.
That's correct. I feel like that means you are extremely healthy emotionally or something like that.
I have no clue.
Because I have the opposite reaction where I have that and then my mind, and I can't really reason through it, although I do consciously when that happens, I think, oh, this is sleep paralysis. But I am desperately trying to move myself. I'm trying to roll over. It's for me personally, it's a very specific feeling of there is some personified something in this room and it is coming closer to me and it is the loudest industrial static noise that I've ever heard and it's getting louder and louder. Really? As this thing I know is right next to me is coming closer and closer and I'm trying as hard as I can to move. And there was one time where someone was next to me when I was sleeping and they just said they heard I woke up because in my mind too, again, it's pseudo conscious, right? It's
this
in between state. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying so hard to roll over to like tap them to get them to wake me up and I could not move. Then when I actually awoke, I asked them afterwards. I said, oh, yeah, I just heard you kind of like gasp a little bit, but like really quietly under your breath. Yeah. So in your head, it's like it's this battle where you're trying to gain control of your body and it's not working. You're panicking. You're freaking out. And from the outside, it's nothing. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like so much going on in your head and like outside you don't see much.
Yeah.
There's moments where like my dream is the reality. So then like...
Joe's like, well, I know that movie, Inception.
Yeah, right? No, so it's a scary thing. So I'll be like dreaming that I'm laying in bed sleeping. Mm-hmm. So, but then it's like, it's not even like an out of body experience. It's that I'm dreaming that I was laying in bed and I'm about to go sleep. And I'm awake. Right? No, but it's like fully a dream because like just as quickly, and like it might be that I woke up in the middle of the night. Who knows, right? I have no clue. But all I know is like I could not move my body. Mm-hmm. So it's like the sleep paralysis thing. But then like, so I'm like completely conscious, but then I would like, I wouldn't even have to close my eyes. Suddenly, like it's just like the scene changes, and I'm in like a forest or something. That's how like surreal it feels like, in that dream. Mm. And then it would literally be like almost like I'm jumping dreams. It's like from one dream and I just suddenly I'm in another one and I'm in another one. And there's this one time I remember like waking up from sleep paralysis, and being in the sleep paralysis and I'd be like, I need to move my body. So like I'm like struggling there, and then suddenly my arm moves. I'm like, oh great, my arm's moving. So like flopping it around.
Oh my gosh!
It's crazy.
Your body parts, I'd be going like numb when you're dreaming or something like that. Like my leg, one time, like I was dreaming and then my leg went really, really numb and I could not move it. Mm. And then I was like freaking out because I was like, "What am I gonna do? It's like 4 a.m.
Like in your dream, or you were like
in my dream, and then when I woke up, I was still frozen. Like I could like move my other parts of my body, but my foot was so like numb. And, like, I just couldn't move. I don't know. It's just like related to that dream.
Interesting.
But
I do know I sleep talk though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I always wondered what you were dreaming about.
No clue. Sometimes you tell me I sleep talk, I'm like, I didn't dream anything.
For some context, they used to be roommates in freshman year, so they shared like a triple with them two and this other guy called Stanley.
I think we talked a little bit on the first episode.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Refresh.
Episode 0.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn. Yeah, sometimes I'll listen to other podcasts and like, oh, I talked about that on the podcast. I don't remember. And I think to myself, how do you not remember what you said in front of a microphone? Yeah. Now I get it. Yeah. I have no idea what I've shared with the world and what I have. So sometimes people will talk to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, Mike, you have had sleep paralysis, right? I'm like, how the hell do you know that? Yeah. Like, are you in my head? Stalking me? Yeah. They're like, no, you broadcast yourself every other week. Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. You got me.
Remember you guys were asking the other question, if you did something before you sleep, it would like make you induce your dreams. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I watched like these like horror movies or something, and I would get so creeped out because in my dreams, I would like replay as if I were the main character getting haunted or like the victim. Oh my God, those were the worst. That's why I hated horror movies. And right now, like, after like making Motto, it's a little better. Mm-hmm.
Which is our horror short film.
Yes, that is in post-production. So
yeah,
we're going to... working on that, but
no promises.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I feel like after making it, it's like not as bad, and now it's like when I watch movies, it's more like I'm like analyzing how they do certain things, so I'm not as like focused on like being scared. I mean, I still get scared, but it's like a little bit less.
Yeah, yeah, no, once you start learning the behind the scenes, it takes away some of the magic.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a curse and a gift at the same time. And I'm blessing, yeah.
The horror movie Nightmare on Elm Street. Do you guys know that one? Have you seen those?
Yeah, yeah. Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
The freaking long.
The claws.
Yeah.
That was based on the writer Wes Craven. He got the idea because he heard of some news story about teens in Switzerland or something like that. Uh-huh. And they basically described the plot of the movie where they're like, yeah, there's something in our dreams trying to get us. Uh-huh. And they were trying to stay awake because they found out after they passed away, because they died from this weird like dream, whatever happened over there. And then investigators, like, they opened the closet and they saw they had a coffee pot in their hidden in their closet. Uh-huh. So the implication being these teens were going to crazy lengths trying to keep themselves awake before they eventually pass away. I don't know how much of that is true, but that's what Wes Craven claims.
In Switzerland. With
this news story. It was somewhere in Europe. It wasn't America, I remember.
It was their dreams, not excess coffee at this point.
I mean, like, there was probably something wrong with them mentally that led to this, but,
It's
crazy. And they were all having the same dream?
I don't remember if it was multiple people.
Oh, that's so cool. We can, like, connect each other in our dreams and we can communicate.
I don't want to know what other people dream about. Yeah. I don't
need to call that. We can meet in the dreams. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Have you guys ever lucidly dreamed?
Lucid dreams, but I've had dreams where I'm aware that it is a dream.
Yeah.
Once
or
twice. Not a lot.
Like meta almost. Yeah. You're like, oh, this is like inception.
What does it take to become aware?
I've heard, I've looked into this because I wanted to do it and I just never dedicated myself. One trick is to, you know, whenever there is a common occurrence, like, you know, walking through a door or something, you do something tactile. So whenever you walk through a door, you tap on the door 3 times and you focus on feeling the door. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in a dream, if you just happen to pass through a door, you're already conditioned to subconsciously tap on the door. So then when you're in the dream doing that subconsciously, you realize there is nothing, you know, physical.
But that requires you to, like, so it's like go Pavlov. Through a door.
You're training.
Yeah, because I feel like you don't really have control over.
Yeah, like, you don't. Because I feel like I don't really walk through doors in my dreams. I kind of just like get placed in different places. Like,
well, then every time you teleport somewhere in real life, touch the ground.
Teleport.
So then you can
teleport in your dream. Harry Potter stuff.
Okay. What do they feel the ground? Okay.
There are moments where like I'm like dreaming and I'm like, this is a dream. So I'm just gonna make whatever I want happen, and then I'll like it'll happen, and it's the craziest thing. And I'll be like, God. I'll be like. Yeah, no, it was almost like my own. It's like a what is like the VR MMOs, like the ones that like everyone keeps talking about is the future or something. I literally feel like it's like the connected to my brainstem type of thing where I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this. Like the dream is directing me towards it, and I'm being chased. I'm like, I turn around, I'm like, I don't want you to chase me, and then suddenly like whatever chases me disappears.
Oh, wow. It listens to you.
And then like I'm like
constructing. He's a master of his mind. Yeah,
it's the craziest thing.
We're the amateurs. He's a mastermind.
Yeah. Joe, you said something about like going into other people's dreams.
Yeah.
I think a Black Mirror episode would be, and I think Black Mirror is a little overrated, but I've only seen 3 episodes maybe. Mm. But that's a hot take for another day. I feel like it'd be interesting if you met yourself, but the version of yourself that other people perceive you as.
Mm. But different people perceive you differently.
Exactly. Mm. Mm-hmm. So then you could go, like, you would see how I see you.
Yeah.
You see how Darren and Richard see you. And then all of those, the way that you respond to it, that tells you something about how you perceive yourself.
Wait, I'm confused. So is that me too. Like...
I don't know what I'm saying. Don't listen to me.
Are there different, like, clones of me?
No, you would be, like, beaming yourself.
But then you would be in our heads.
It's like in Darren's
brain. You're visiting Darren's brain. And you meet the version of yourself.
So I'm that hearing what sees. Darren thinks.
Something like that.
Fell off again. She's doing this.
This motherfucker.
I see. She always makes fun of my feet. What the hell?
I see. Very interesting. I remember when I was younger, I had this. I don't know if it's hard to believe or not. I used to be super, super like punctual when I was young. And I'd be so scared to be late for class, even if it's like 5 minutes. And I had this one dream when I was like super late to class. It was like a whole 30 minutes. And that was like the end of me. And like in my head, it was just like, I was like, I'm flunking school. And then I realized it was a dream. And then
it's pretty bad. And wow.
I don't know why that was so important to me when you're younger. Just like, that was just like, you have to be on time. Not that like being on time is bad, obviously, but just like, it was just like life or death at that point.
Little things matter more when you're little.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's like good and bad, again, blessing and a curse sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, your highs are a lot higher, but then your lows are a lot lower from the smallest things that happen. Mm-hmm. Like your friend says something to you that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gets super low, but then like girl taps your shoulder. Actually, guys are still kind of like this a lot of the time. Someone taps your shoulder and like, oh, dude. She's into me. Then highest high ever. Mm. We are 26 minutes in. I think we should swap out
for sure
our recording.
Yeah. All right.
See you guys in 5 seconds.
That's what all right.
Mm, I like the peach one. Word.
All right. That was it. That was the start. He likes the peach one.
I like the peach one. So we're all of age. We're enjoying a little bit of something.
Apple juice.
Peach juice. I had some strawberry juice. Anyways, yeah. So we're talking about dreams and. I was wondering, like, on the other end of dreams, like, besides just dreaming dreams, what about, like, dreams and aspirations type of dreams?
Oh, yeah. Big boy dreams.
Maybe that's why you don't dream anymore when you get older. Yeah. You have big boy dreams. Yeah. I mean, on my end, I'm dreaming, but I guess I don't remember. All I remember is just grunting in my sleep in Mandarin.
Yeah, dude. I don't know who you're talking to.
I don't know.
Who you're making out with.
No, apparently, I'm just going to, like, yeah. And my mom said that, like, I was, like, asleep, and I was just really mad at somebody. I was, like, angry.
Yeah,
angry.
Dude. Wow. It's, like, scary, bro.
You're, like, punching. You're, like, oh.
Really? Punching?
You take it out as frustration.
Wait, I'm actually...
It's, like, Richard by night,
wait,
Richard
I'm
by
punching?
Day.
Wait, I'm actually, like, punching or something?
No, you're just like, I don't know.
Darren can tell you anything right now. He'd be like, that was what you were doing.
You're a little scary.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was just like, I saw you get angry and I was like.
Because you're so calm usually.
Yeah, I've never seen you get angry.
Sleep.
I feel like my biggest, like, seeing people who are usually calm, like, lose their cool is so cool to me. I don't know why.
Actually, I have seen Richard angry, but I've never seen him, like, lose his cool.
No, I want to see him lose his cool.
Wait, when have I been angry?
When we were on set one time and you're trying to address someone who is kind of all over the place and stressed out, and you were super calm. And then afterwards you were like, oh yeah, I didn't know what to do. I was just improvising. So like I was frustrated at the guy.
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
I wasn't angry. I was just exasperated. I was kind of like.
Oh, okay. No, but the point is that you weren't angry. Right?
Oh, yeah. You weren't angry.
I wasn't
angry.
I wasn't.
So we got to make you angry.
Yeah. It's hard to get me angry. Maybe that's why it's all pent up. Yeah.
He's like, I dare you guys
to get
angry in the comments below.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't
no.
do that, please.
You think I'll take the engagement.
Yeah. No, they actually can't. I would say it probably gets me sad, if anything.
When was the last time you were angry?
When was the last time I was angry?
He's like, I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I'm just upset.
I'm just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed.
When was the last time I was angry?
Just a little annoyed.
Yeah.
We'll let you harp on that.
Yeah. Like where you were like punching stuff and like, nah, actually I don't know.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. I don't know. I was just like, there's a lot that I was doing at once. Like it was like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember coming back. Like it was like a Thursday or Friday night. I forgot when.
Mm.
I was like carrying all this stuff, and then I was just like tired, and just like dumped it on the ground. I just got really like mad. I mean, I was like, there's no one there, so I was just like picking my stuff up and like putting it down very forcefully. I was like, backpack here, guitar here, like my water bottle on a table. And I was just like, oh, like, just like in my own head. But like, no one's in the room or anything. So all I could do is like, oh, it's just like really mad.
Hey, what was that from?
Huh? I don't know. It's just like really like huffy puffy kind of like angry, like frustration kind of angry.
So you
like
put everything away nice and neat?
But forcefully, man.
Yeah. No.
Forcefully.
No, yeah, the guitar like fell over and I got really annoyed.
Mm.
And I was like, why'd you fall over? It's like gravity. How could you do this to me?
Damn. Yeah. I will say, for sleep talkers, if you've read 1984, mm-hmm. George Orwell, oh. one of the things that the main character Winston says is like, man, I feel really bad for sleep talkers. Because like you can control yourself in terms of what the government is seeing you say when you're, you know, going about your day. But if you're asleep and you talk in your sleep, you can't yeah. control what you hide from the government that is always surveilling us.
Yeah.
One of my biggest fears is to say something while I'm sleep talking. I guess I haven't said anything besides sitting up and saying I'm Christian
before. Yeah. You sit up, you're like, make America great again.
And yeah, I remember whoa. Stanley telling me that too. I just sat
up. No, that's good, dude.
You I just need, sat up like this.
You need to tell me all your thoughts. That's what it needs.
I guess you have to start something.
We need the truth, bro.
Start something Chinese. I'm glad neither you or Stanley like knew Mandarin.
I was like, so darn glad. It. Holding Google Translate up to you.
Really?
Yeah.
What? This guy is trying to kill me. No, I'm
not. Yeah.
I have nothing to hide. Yeah. Yo, not funny. Yeah. But anyways, dreams and aspirations, guys.
Yeah, for film, me personally, like the mission statement for Amateur Mastermind in terms of the films that we make
yeah.
pretty much is my goal, which is to be telling, you know, stories and screenwriting, filmmaking, for topics that will enlighten certain social issues or just humanitarian issues yeah. in general.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I went into school and I'm still in school for physics and political science, which were the two different ways that I thought I could most efficiently and directly benefit people, mm-hmm. right? Physics as in helping, like, create renewable energy or efficient energy and things mm-hmm. like that, or political sciences through policy mm-hmm. and affecting people's lives that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I realized I didn't really like the process of those two things for the most part.
Yeah.
But I really did like writing and story mm-hmm. structure and things like that. So the compromise that I made in my head was using the stories in a way that really will help people as directly as possible. And sometimes I doubt, I'm like, do stories really have that kind of impact? Like at the end of the day, it is just art. Then I remember Woodrow Wilson playing Birth of a Nation at the White House and how viscerally pissed off that gets me that, you know, it was, you know, 1900s wasn't that long ago that he's playing this race super racist film in the White House. It's like, oh yeah, this is amazing, this is great. That visceral emotional reaction for me reminds me of how powerful socially that films can be.
And media films, in general
it's so powerful because I think what film does great is like it helps you connect with the characters on that emotional level. Like they already make you grow attached to people, and I feel like us human beings are like social. So when we see like those emotions, you connect with them. And when something happens to those people, you feel like just so much stronger. Because it's not just like some random person on the news that's happening to now. You're like, I know this character, you know? You almost like feel like you actually know them. And when things happen to them, it just hits so much harder. And I feel like that's what I want to do with film. Like the dream one day is to create a character that like people really connect with. And then have something happen to him or her. So then like people understand like, how severe that really is and they can sympathize to an extent with
that. That's true. And if you listen to Script Notes, I forget which host from Script Notes said it, but they're basically like, if you're a screenwriter in the traditional sense, you're some sort of sadist. You are someone who is taking a character and then putting them in the worst possible situation for that character specifically, because that's how you explore the theme through that very fundamental conflict within them. So we're all sadists in that way, which is great. It's good to know.
The blind side.
Like you birth a child.
Oh, the blind side is good.
Birth a child just to make them go through all the hardships in life. But I feel like it's like through hardship that's when you learn more about yourself and like those things.
Yeah, an interesting thing. Kevin Smith is another writer director who I really like. He ended his movie Clerks 2 and Clerks 1 is the movie that made him. Like that was the first movie that put him on the indie radar.
Yeah.
He ended Clerks 2 in a way that, you know, wasn't this huge triumphant ending, but it was vaguely satisfying for his main characters. And he said, you know, I felt like I couldn't just leave these main characters who gave me so much, who started my career. I couldn't leave them in a bad spot. I had to give them something as if they were actual people to be respected and revered. Yeah. It's very interesting to me.
I think for some people too, it's like the characters eventually like, grow out of you. It's like you envision them certain ways and then they start like telling their own stories. I'm like, that's like super interesting as well.
Sort of talking back to me. You started throwing some shade at me. Yeah. I got a little upset.
Like, no, Mike, I'm not doing this. It's like Richard in this dream. You want him to do something. And they're just like, no, I don't want to do this. I'm doing something completely different.
Go away. You fade away like the Marvel characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hope you guys already watched the movies. Otherwise,
I watched them.
Fade away. Nice.
Uncut Gems recently. Have you guys watched Uncut Gems?
Not yet. It's on the list.
I recommended Uncut Gems.
Well, a lot, I'm going to say the overall feeling I got from it was just stressed. Yeah. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah. That is what I've heard.
Yes. It's like stressful. I'm like, it's, I personally, like, I don't know if I love the movie. Just like, I really hated Adam Sandler.
Oh.
I really hated Howie, the character he played. Mm. But I think the director, like the whole, and the actors, they did a great job of making me like maintain that level of stress throughout the movie, which is like hard to do. And
I
guess also,
I think he's likable. I don't know. Like you still are on his side.
You feel for him.
I mean, it's like you. It's like you're so stressed. He's like, oh my gosh, I hope you're doing the right thing. I hope you're like, the right thing, right? Like, I hope you, like, you learn from whatever it is he's doing. Try and keep it as vague as possible. But then like he does something else, and you're like, oh, again, and then it's like going to that roller coaster of emotions. I think it's also very interesting. But you, I do agree. It's like you, like, you don't, I don't know, I don't agree with his actions, but then you still kind of root for him because you're just kind of like, you know, I don't want anything bad.
No more, please.
He's a gem cutter in that movie, right? It's a sequel to Billy Madison, I'm pretty sure.
I cannot tell you're sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic. But, yeah, it's only watching
really bad at sarcastic. Yeah. I like, Mike is usually good.
God damn, although,
what do you mean usually bad? Good? I'm always good. So, I'm always on point.
I'm usually bad at sarcasm. 99.9999% chance.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Okay.
As real as possible.
Because I have not seen Billy Madison, so.
Oh, okay. Didn't land. It's not an Adam Sandler joint.
I would have gotten it.
Yeah. So, what are on your sides? We talked a little bit about our, like, dreams, aspirations.
Did you talk about your dreams or aspirations? You just said you didn't like Adam Sandler. You said he was a horrible human being.
Yeah. I hate Uncut Gems, the guy from it.
Ooh. Okay. Room. Yeah. I mean, I think a dream is to, like, build a really strong production company that, like, maybe we can do together. Like, tell those stories that are not told, right? I think A24, like, I'm a fangirl, and you guys are, like, fanboys too. It's like, it's they really revolutionize, like, the way they tell these stories, and like the fact that they have such a strong, like, almost cult-ish following from its, like, viewers, its audience, to tell these stories that, like, normally, like, these other production companies would not tell. I think that is the goal, right? And to have, like, our little twist on it, have, like, these issues we want to focus on, or just, like, something that's fun for the people to, like, really watch and, like, connect with. I think that is a dream for sure. And, like, I think my dream is to, like, leave some impact on the world. Like, wherever that is. And I feel like that's through, like, emotions through people. Because I think it's really important that you can leave, like, a feeling for someone that they can do something for themselves. And that's also why I like education so much in, like, third world countries. Because, I mean, education here is, like, maybe a little different because we all have access to it. But then for them, and they just know that it's possible to do certain things that, like, opens so many doors for them. Just because they just would not know. Like, this is one study in India where, like, girls would not get, like, a lot of schooling because they invest, like, heavily into the boys. But then after getting a pamphlet telling them that, oh, if you go to school, your returns, like, your average income is this much higher, so many more of them go to school. And, like, it really is, because, like, before, you can't just do a lot of stuff. But then, like, after these studies show you from econ studies that, like, it works, they actually go out and, like, make more money. And just, like, that can, like, help their whole family, like, in the generations after. And, like, that's so much more empowering, because I don't want to just give people money, right? Like, it's going to be used up and it's done. But giving them, like, the ability to do their own things, I think that's, like, the most empowering thing. Yeah. Because, like, that cycle continues.
Knowledge is powerful, and history, too, is really powerful. And that's something that I've been realizing lately that I knew before, but I didn't really understand until now. And I probably still don't understand it completely. Yeah. But that's part of why I've been so obsessed with Spike Lee lately. The way he incorporates.
Recently to be a jury for the okay, we're gonna fact check me, but we'll put it back later.
The film award.
Yeah, the film
award.
I did see that though. Yeah.
And he was, like, the first Black person to, like, have that. It's for the 74th.
Making strides.
I mean, I think Denzel this year has been, like, strides. You know, like, from, like, Bong Joon-hoon from, like, Parasite, and then we have Minari, like, a lot of the actors getting nominated.
How do you say it? Can you say it again?
Minari.
One more time.
Minari.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not even doing Korean. I'm not even Korean, guys.
Wait a second.
Yeah, but it's Minari. Every time I say Minari, people get confused. I'm like, oh, Minari, and they're like, oh, Minari.
You know,
Minari.
You say it really with a southern drawl.
All the Koreans are cringing.
But I know there was, like, a lot of controversy too, because they were saying it didn't qualify for, like, an American film because over half of it was in Korean. Yeah. But it was made by an American company, and it tells the story of Korean Americans living for the American dream. Our topic.
That was good. Please continue.
The thing though is, like, I don't think that's a valid concern/excuse. I know, like, our national language, I guess if you want to call it that, is English, but like we're a country that's made up of immigrants like from
the get-go. They're going to the what, the Golden Globes, but I mean, what, the Oscars still nominated them for
Best, Best Picture,
Best Actor. Wait, but they're still in the directorial category as well, and they what was it, like a Best Picture category?
Yeah.
All right, so who cares about the Golden Globes?
Screw
them, bro.
No,
they're gonna see. It's not gonna be good.
We're gonna cancel. Just push down on YouTube.
instead of 5 views, we get 3.
We do better on the podcast app.
The spammers, in our comments better not return.
I'm seeing you. I actually wonder who like watches the YouTube version.
Yeah.
Because I like podcasts because I can like play it when I'm doing something else and it doesn't drain my battery as much. I was like, who wants to see us? Everybody, of course.
Of course.
Come on, man.
Self-cast.
Yeah.
Video podcast is always better, right?
Yeah. I feel like we really only film just to put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like, no one really watches YouTube. I do use YouTube when I go back to re-listen.
If you if you're
ones,
watching this, comment sometimes right now and comment the timestamp that you saw it at.
I feel like she said that in the beginning.
No, like comment the fact that you saw, you heard this one part.
Word.
Yeah.
If you made it this far.
Yeah. If you made it this far, here's a secret message.
$10 off your next order on Uber Eats. Yeah. We'll give it to you.
We're sponsored by
We reward you with a $100 gift card.
Wow. You got it.
This is getting dicey.
That's all him.
This is getting dicey.
That's not me.
Yeah.
Talk about dreams, man. Quick. Juice.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Did you guys talk about your dreams and or aspirations?
Dreams or aspirations?
Not yet. We haven't talked about it. Do you
want to
go?
I don't know. For me, it's constantly changing. Yeah. You should go first though, because I need to think about
this. It's a previous podcast.
It's a very big
thing. I was like, Darren, do you want to go? And he goes, why don't you go, Richard? I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Dreams and aspirations. It's a hard question.
It also needs a minute.
But I think, it's so funny. It's, the question I asked.
Yeah. Usually when you ask a question, it's because it's, you have thoughts already about it.
Let me tell you what my dreams and aspirations are. Yeah. I think my dreams and aspirations kind of are, simplistic in the sense where it's not one definite specific goal, but it's one outcome in life. Number one is live life to the fullest, and then also never see anything as impossible, if that makes any sense. And I think that was drilled in, partially because of my mom would always tell me nothing is impossible unless you put your mind to it. And then only when someone tells you no can you say it was you tried, you did your best, versus you just assuming that it's a no. And there's a lot of instances where that became true. I'm like, dang, I should just went for it. And I think on top of that too, it's just I would like one day to retire and say I did what I did, and it's like a Frank Sinatra song. I did it my way. I think that's my dreams and aspirations. Essentially, it's not one life goal that I'm aiming for, but it's a lifestyle, I guess, that I'm aiming for. But I also don't want to live life to the fullest in the extent of abandoning my life, if it makes any sense. I want to strike a balance. And I think that kind of goes into my faith a little bit, but
interesting. Very, very general
sort of
life lesson approach. Through line approach to those.
If you, let's say you move to, another country that you've never been in, and then just have this new identity, you think you would act, very differently?
It's a college.
Darren's I came to college, I was confident.
No. I feel college is, a way for a lot of people to start, their new lives. Mm-hmm. Because, you're in high school, and you're with these people for what? I don't know. Some of them ever since you were babies.
Man, I couldn't rebrand myself.
Some of them, you just look at them when you go to school, and you're like, oh,
this kid.
I'm sick of you, bro. He's got it. Yeah.
Nah.
Heard you whining when you were 5.
Coming to college was weird because my two worlds collided. My Queens world, my New York City world, and then my Long Island world.
Yeah.
That was hard for me because I was like, oh no, what if they think I'm not who I'm actually? What if I've lived my life in a two-faced way? But then no, it was people were like, oh yeah, Richard does this, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh I guess not. I guess like I'm still the same person. No.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many sides to people though.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of inevitable.
For sure.
And to call one side fake and the other not fake is kind of simple.
That's why weddings intrigue me. Because you invite like everybody who technically knows you to an extent, right, to the wedding. Oh, but then like they see like so many different sides of you that's like, oh, very interesting.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, like, yeah. No, like that's what happens. Like, when you invite too many different people from
your like your parents, like I feel like your parents see you as like their kid and they like, see you in like a very like baby way almost. And then like your friends see you in certain ways. Maybe your like coworkers that you meet at work, they're your friends, right? But they see you in different ways. And then just like these whole like amalgamations of like different characters that have these different perspectives of you, like the Black Mirror episode you're pitching. If you guys want to make that, we can write a script for you. Netflix, please hit us up.
We can make it better. Give us our own show.
Yeah.
Gray Mirror.
Yeah. Anyway, so I feel like it's like cool to see like those Mike different Mirror. People kind of. And I wish like, what if all these, because usually when you're at a wedding table, you get like placed with people that you mostly kind of know.
Don't really know about, yeah.
And then like, they all just kind of talk about you. It's like, oh, what? That's what Mike's like? That's what Jaren's like? That's what Richard's like?
That's
interesting.
I think that's
like interesting. And they're like, piecing the person together that way is cool.
Yeah, no, I always wonder what that would be like, because I know a lot of people that don't necessarily mesh together, like a lot of different friends that will be like, oh, like, I don't know if this group should hang out together because I don't really know if they're going to get along. I like both of them separately, though, but it's like weird.
And like, maybe you don't see those two people like being friends, right? Just because they may just be like a mismatch of personality or like values, but you're somehow able to connect them.
How are they friends?
Like, how are we friends? Like, how are we such good friends? But then they also don't like
or the opposite, and they get together so beautifully.
Yeah,
that you're like that. You're just nice. You're cut off.
No, some people. It's definitely like that for some people. Mm. It's like you are. It's
definitely
a
YouTube sketch.
And then you have
out
like
there,
a mutual friend.
Oh yeah, that's a Wong Fu skit. Right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
That's cool to think about.
Yeah, if you've seen Melancholia. The first half of the film, it's like this weird artsy sci-fi film. I think the first half was a little better than the second half, but anyway. The first half of the film is following this character that essentially has some form of depression or anxiety.
Yeah.
Really more depression than anxiety as they go through their wedding day and how that is back to what we said about being sadists as writers.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who struggles with depression in big crowds, your wedding day might be the most, ironically, the most terrifying day of your life because all eyes are on you. Not only is it attention, but it's almost pressure to be happy, to enjoy the moment. Yeah. And if you're someone who struggles with being happy,
a certain way kind of thing.
That's
I can't
that's
even
terrifying.
Imagine what that is going to be like. Because at the same time, you're like, it's going to be the happiest day of my life. I mean, probably for a bride, but then for the
that's not true.
Whoa.
Really no, that's not true.
Cancel.
No, I'm like, she's so stressed because she has to worry about her dress, her like bridesmaids.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
What is
it? Darren, I want to see you cry on that. I want to see you cry on that wedding pedestal.
Thing. Because I mean, like, who wants it? Like, who wants like that wedding more though?
I mean, depends on the couple. That depends on the couple.
Yeah, depends on the couple. Yeah.
You're assuming.
Mike's looking at Darren like,
assuming,
what are you
like,
even saying right now?
Maybe on average.
It depends. Yeah, maybe on average. Maybe. Yeah, it's a big commitment.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It is a big commitment.
Yeah, but I always wondered, like, it's just like the people there, and you have all these eyes on you. I'm like wondering, like, would I really be like that happy on that day? Like, would it be?
He's like, stop looking at me.
Yeah, I was reading like it'd be mad stressful, man.
I was reading a book about Abraham Lincoln because I'm such a cool kid, and kids love me so much. Because I read books about dead presidents. But this is a man who's dealt with depression all his life. And one of the things that he said was, even when he was inaugurated as president, the reality seemed to keep letting him down, where he built something up in his mind to a certain extent, and then it's just the payoff, the satisfaction emotionally just is not there.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, like with expectation, like reality, like I said, your dreams of what's gonna actually be like, it just when it doesn't match up, like it might not even be bad, right? But because like you have these expectations for it, it just doesn't meet them. It makes it bad. And I feel like
expectations will always like make you upset to like some degree. Like just having like these higher expectations, it's like
so lower positive. Them. Yeah.
Or not even lower them. Just don't have them. I don't know.
Don't have expectations.
Darren has no expectations.
Yeah.
Well, there's the flip side too, where you expect something to be horrible and you're like, oh my God, I can't do it, I can't do it. And then you get through it and it's like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Like,
we just plan
side.
For the extremes in our heads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fear side. The horror movie side.
Exactly.
The nightmare side.
I feel like that's what the thing of horror movies, right? It's like the thing itself might not be that scary, but everything leading up to it is like the worst.
That is something that we definitely learned.
For
it's the suspense, right?
It's
you
suspense.
Hold it out for long enough. And
For me, it's the horror movies that have like exorcism or spirits and demons that get to me. Cause like,
me too.
Hi, I am Christian
and
oh yeah, that's pretty bad.
I'm Christian.
Sleeping. And I go back to sleep. Now, no, like that exists for me. So then, like when I see a movie like that, I'm like, bro, like this could genuinely be a possibility.
Did we? Were we the one that put the picture in front of your bed after we watched like The Grudge?
Oh yeah.
We did that too.
Yeah, but The Grudge wasn't scary for me.
Oh okay, yeah.
It was scary
react.
For me.
Yeah, I didn't really react.
We should have taped it on her.
No, you guys saved it in front of all the doors.
Wait, you describe what you did. No one here know, including me. I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
We printed out like pictures of The Grudge and we like put it like in different places after they watched the movie. And one of them was like behind the doors because there was like a little window there, and then we just taped it on the other side. So it was like watching through. It would creep you out if you just glanced at it really quickly, like, wait, what did I just see?
That would freak me out so bad.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
See, the thing about The Grudge is like, you know, it's not real.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, it's not even a demon or a spirit. It's just,
it well, is, it has to do with like the Christianity you're saying it was.
Yeah, whatever like movie that does. So like for example, like The Nun. Oh my gosh. Yo, I saw the clip art for that. I was like, well no.
The cover clip art.
Yeah,
I was kinda creeped out by that one we watched. It was like the what was it? It was also like a Catholic one. With like the girls. You remember what it was?
The Catholic one with the girls.
It was like underneath the bed. Like there was like an imprint of like the monster.
No.
You were there. You were watching that one.
Okay, when I used to watch horror movies, I watched like with my hands over my ears, my eyes shut, and like I peek to see.
So are you really watching or going like this?
I'm like maybe close. I don't know. I feel like the sounds add so much though. I feel like the sounds add so much. If you're just watching it, because I can go like this, it's like a lot better.
A movie and score and sound design matters.
Yeah.
Much.
Because it connects your senses. It connects your senses. It's not just like,
especially for horror. You're right. Horror. That is so reliant on
sound is everything, man.
Yeah. You know what would change the game? Scent. We include scent, and we have like a food thing.
And in a horror movie?
No.
What
I was
it smells scary.
No, I thought JoJo was gonna say scent, and it was like the scent of blood or something. I was like, oh yeah, that would actually scare the absolute crap out of me.
What does blood smell like?
It's just like metallic. Or the smell of a corpse. Or the smell of a corpse that's like rotting.
Yeah.
Mm. And then you get like all those senses too.
I feel like that would just kind of disgust you. I don't know.
You would, but if you did that, you might get like veterans and EMTs and people getting severe PTSD from scent especially.
Yeah.
And you'd have to have like a TV or a projector that's like releasing this
like skunk
scent.
No, the scent might be too
someone
much.
Definitely invented that. Like,
could you imagine?
Look at this.
Can you imagine the opening?
This smells
so bad.
Something like Saving Private Ryan.
Oh my god.
Smelling that in addition
to
everything
else. Smelling the gunpowder, smelling the blood, the sweat, tears.
That would be horrifying.
Yeah.
But if we watched a cooking anime. Oh, that would be.
I was thinking about cooking shows. It's like
Food Wars.
Oh, wait, what senses are we missing here? We're missing the scent, feeling, like touch.
Yeah,
I used to watch.
I watched this one like bubble show when I was like younger.
Bubble show.
And then but they would show you everything and you hear it, and then they would also like splash water on you and they would also like move the chairs. So
you know the Bug's Leg. Did you see that one? The Bug's Leg.
Oh, I saw that.
There's like these little things that come up from your seat and makes you feel like the bugs are like crawling underneath.
Oh, I hate that.
They also had smells in that. That might have been like a 5D sort of thing.
Yeah. 4 or 5D, I forgot what it's called, but I know they have 40 movies and like 40 shows.
I used to love those Disney shows going to Disney.
They would have like the mist spray we put on the goggles.
Those are
like
so
3D.
Cool.
Oh,
I hate watching of goggles. It makes my vision like just
control. Oh, yeah.
We are
try washing glasses.
We're approaching the end here.
Mm.
I think we're going to end with our little word game.
Yes.
If everyone's all right with that.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I can start off and then we'll go this way.
Okay.
Mm.
Ready?
Counterclockwise.
Dreams
are
the
best
things
that
can
happen
to
he's like always
you
if
you
pick
the
right
dream
period.
Isn't that interesting?
Nice.
That's so deep.
Yeah.
We should write a whole script like that.
It's almost like Inception. That can happen to you if you pick the right dream.
Yeah, if you pick the right dream.
I don't know if that would be faster or slower.
I wasn't the word that was expecting.
Yeah, I was expecting.
It wasn't like too deviant. Okay. All right.
Sure.
That's
all
it.
Right.
That's
all right.
Peace, y'all. Catch you guys next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, wait, empty cups.
No, it's not empty.
Empty chairs and empty tables. Yes.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Amateur Mastermind Productions podcast called Amateur Hour. tune back in every other Tuesday. We'll be posting another podcast episode. And then also don't forget to subscribe, leave a like, you know, tune into our Spotify or even our YouTube, wherever you are on these platforms, and check out our other podcast episodes as well, on both platforms. And we'll be posting all over our social media, so don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all the works. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.